just going to spare the suspense right now. Tom Hardy is, you know, we had X-Men Days of Future Past, we had Captain America Winter Soldier, and we've had Guardians of the Galaxy, but my number one hero of the year is Tom Hardy in The Drop. So,
Jesus Christ, man, I know you want to be a bartender, but...
Wow. Yeah, no, it's you know, as good as he seems to be at tending the bar, as he says in his squeaky, I promise I'm from Brooklyn accent.
Okay, so weird after Locke, where he's got this perfect, crisp...
Welsh.
Elucidated way of speaking, and here he's like, hey, what's up, motherfuckers? Well, God damn.
Yeah, it's kind of the same accent he has in Warrior. It's kind of like that, like, maybe I'm Italian, maybe I'm not, but yeah. I'm definitely not white.
Yeah.
I was going to say something about comparing it to Warrior in another way, but I realized I would spoil something, so let me just say, this is the highly suspect review of the Wait For It to Drop. The Drop. That's what this is.
Wow, you are just a Foley master.
Like it's hot.
I am.
Like it's hot.
Like it's hot. Yes.
So much Foley, it's like watching Willow Creek all of a sudden. This is Brian.
This is Chris.
JC.
And Goss.
Goss.
The saddest.
Sorry.
The saddest unusual suspect of them all.
Goss, damn it.
So The Drop is... It's a noir-y type story from Dennis Lehane.
Dennis Lehane, who wrote Gone Baby Gone,
Mystic River, Shutter Island.
Mystic River, that was the other one I couldn't remember.
Maybe not more importantly, but directed by Michael Roskam.
Who did Bullhead.
Also, if you notice, the guy in here who played Eric, the kind of like antagonist, if you will, was the main guy from Bullhead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Matthew Schoenaerts.
Okay, that's why he looked kind of familiar, just maybe not as... I guess he was more built and more muscly in Bullhead.
Well, yeah, considering that movie's about steroids, I can kind of connect the dots there. But
well, it's like, you know, I mean, cold where they are, so everybody's wearing a lot of jackets.
Right.
You know, Tom Hardy himself is built like Bullhead guy.
Yeah.
And you can't tell.
But he's like 5'3", so.
What's a muscle jacket? Can I get one? That sounds awesome.
You got a muscle shirt on. It's like that, except a jacket.
Yeah, okay. I got you. So, I mean, the other thing of note about this movie is that, for all intents and purposes, unless something else surfaces, this is the last James Gandolfini performance.
No, officially it is the last like feature film with Gandolfini to be
released. Filmed a pilot for a show that has not been picked up, so I think this will pretty much be the last one we've claimed.
I would imagine it would be really tough for them to pick up that show, too, if he was like a central part of it. I don't know anything about the show.
There's some weird CG second episode where he's like, oh, I died.
They were going to replace him with Paul Walker, and then Philip Seymour Hoffman. Well, it was just
Joan Rivers was going to be the perfect replacement.
Lane Stritch was even lying.
I just want to say this review has already made me sadder than the disappearance of Eleanor Rigby. So, not the review for that, the actual movie. But yeah, so The Drop. One of the things I did like about it is that it had... It's not even a twist, necessarily. It's just the turn. The turn of the movie was one of the most satisfying things I have ever seen in this type of film. Because it seems to be building toward... something pretty conventional, and then it's not that the turn really is completely out of left field, nor that it's completely untelegraphed, but when it happens, it's just so goddamn satisfying.
It's pretty apparent that throughout everything Tom Hardy's character has going on, like there's clearly more to him than what he lets on.
I mean, not at first, I don't think. I mean, he plays a guy, Bob Saganowski, who insists over and over again, hey man, not me. I'm just a bartender.
Wait, isn't Bob Saganowski the host of the Polish version of America's Funniest Home Videos? Poland's Funniest Home Videos?
You fell into my trap. Welcome to Poland's Candid Camera.
Look at this guy eating two loaves of bread. That's funny.
That's just mean.
Jesus Christ. Now but I'm sad.
He works at a bar they set up in the beginning, is one of the main bars that they use, or one of the multiple bars around the city that the mob, the Polish mob presumably use, or Chechen uses as a drop, like, you know,
for dirty money
basically. Mm-hmm. And his boss is James Gandolfini, who used to be the owner of the bar, but it sounds like he was pretty much forced out. And now he's just gambling.
Yeah. It seems like a gambling.
As they said at one point, hey, they stared at you and you blinked. It's over, man. I don't know what to tell you. That was a long time ago.
See, there was a time in New York where the various mobs settled their differences with staring contests. That's what a lot of people don't know.
We still do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my cat is the capo, el capo in the house. And then he meets... a dog in a trash can, and the trash can believing belongs.
And they go on adventures together.
No, no, no. This isn't Travels with Charlie. It's Noomi Rapace.
It's Travels with Rocco.
The Travels with Rocco. Noomi Rapace is the person who lives in the house where the trash can's in front of, and they form this odd sort of friendship. I mean, Bob is, he's kind of autistic, it seems like. He's a little, he doesn't really know how to communicate with people at all, yeah. Like outside of his job as a bartender. He's very, very nervous in any sort of new situation. And so is she to some extent. So yeah. They kind of bond over this dog in a weird sort of way.
Not quite American accent that we just roll with because her name is Nadia. So it's like, it's
some kind of accent.
I love that this movie takes place in the 70s corner of Brooklyn that still exists, where you have modern cars and cell phones, but everyone just looks like they're just going to fuck you up in a moment.
Yeah, it's still,
nobody's bought a new car in 30 years.
That's that's the one part of the city Giuliani was like, fuck it.
Yeah. Let all the homeless live there.
But everything starts to get weird when this guy named Eric shows up, with like the guy who played the lead in Bullhead, who's just very threatening. He's like, look, that was my dog, which they found all beaten, half dead. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
In a trash can.
He's like, that's my dog.
Not even in a nice trash can.
You got to give my dog back or you got to pay me for this dog. And then is obviously has some sort of past relationship with Noomi Rapace. And Tom Hardy's kind of stuck with this, like, look, I'm just a bartender. I don't even want to get involved in any of this, but you ain't taking away my fucking dog.
Yeah. There are two prevailing storylines going on here. The first is that the bar gets robbed at the beginning of the movie, and it falls upon Bob and Cousin Marv to get the money back, or
James Gandolfini,
or the Chechen mob is going to kind of kick their asses because they're not convinced that they weren't in on it. So you have that storyline going on, and the other storyline is Tom Hardy raises a dog, and it was just the most adorable thing.
It was a pretty adorable.
I couldn't dog. Like I wanted to be like, oh, this is so trickle. Look at this little
French. Every time that dog's on screen, you just go, oh, inwardly.
The working title was Pitbullhead. Not a lot of people.
Well done. It is based on a short story called Animal Rescue, so I understand that it wasn't just for the movie that they played up the relationship between Tom Hardy and this dog, because he does kind of grow as a person, and then that. You need him. You need to feel that connection between him and the dog, so that when Eric shows up and is like, "I want the dog back," Tom Hardy doesn't just go, oh, "Okay, here."
What's you're rooting for him as a character because you like him right off the bat, for him to kind of grow out of his shell. You're like, "Oh, here's a nice girl. Settle down with a nice girl. Here, eat something. Why don't you? You're so skinny." I'm sorry, I turned into a Jewish mother for a second.
And it does,
but you know what I mean. Yeah. You're rooting for him, and then there's, as you said, when it gets to the turn, is sort of where, like, you know, at one point, Gandolfini says to somebody, look, trust me, don't fuck with that guy.
Yeah. and you need that too. You need the audience to see how sweet Tom Hardy is. And the raising of the dog is a really good way to establish that. And I'm gonna throw out a spoiler, so if you don't like any spoilers at all, don't listen. But the dog lives. And I was so worried the whole movie. Every time they showed its cute little face, I'm like, somebody's going to just pop up and shoot this dog in the face.
I was nervous for you.
Yeah.
Because I know how you are with dogs getting hurt in movies. And I was like, I swear to God, this is a really good movie. And if that dog gets killed, Brian's going to be like, that movie sucked.
Well, yeah, because, I'm sorry, when we meet the dog, it's half dead in a trash can. It's the saddest thing imaginable.
Dog has suffered enough.
So it's like, yeah, when they nurse it back to health, it's like, if they kill this dog now just to kind of tug on my heartstrings, I'm going to shoot somebody. So that didn't happen, thankfully. End of spoiler. But yeah, spoiler here. End of the spoiler.
You think Tom Hardy would have let somebody hurt that dog?
No, that is clear by the end of the movie, and that is why he is my number one hero of the year.
He does everything but like strap that dog and himself into a suit of armor and walk around everywhere. You know, I mean,
yeah. That's kind of one of the things that I think came out about that. Like while they were filming, like he really formed a great relationship with that dog and like really loved the dog.
I wonder if he got to keep the dog.
Yeah, why are we calling Noomi Rapace names?
Come on. And I don't know. I don't know what the actual acronym would be, but I think Tom Hardy just started an organization called the People for the Ethical Murder of Anyone Who Would Dare Hurt a Dog. You stupid motherfucker! I don't know what that acronym is.
Or
look, don't. I don't think NAMBLA's right.
Don't nail my fucking dog. I'm saying, hey, you want a shot or what?
But yeah. I like that it also endears us to him, and at the same time, anytime he's framed in a conversation with anyone else, he's pretty clearly, like, they don't try to play up his height as they do in other movies. The guy's like 5'9", and it just looks like that he wants to be subservient to anyone he's talking to, whether they have a gun or not.
Yeah. He's very docile, subservient, and he's something of an underdog. Wait a minute, this whole metaphor is coming into focus!
Yeah, I was kind of glad they changed the title from Animal Rescue. Like, I thought the drop sounded generic, and then I was like, Animal Rescue would have been a little on the nose.
It's like
as a short story, I'm sure. It was like,
the Dark Bane. Bane rises.
The dark Bane rises. The sweet Bane rises.
The sweet Bane rises.
That's the interesting thing about the rename. Like, it's called The Drop, and they make it seem like it's supposed to be something like super secretive.
Yeah.
But they tell you. He's doing it in plain view.
It does feel like it's in plain sight. Like, anyone who's regular at the bar is going to be like, he's always putting money in that hole.
Yeah.
Here's a manila envelope that I swear doesn't have any money.
These guys have just dropped off six of today's newspapers folded up. I don't know.
It's a very definition of a neighborhood bar. The people go there, the guys in the neighborhood. At one point, when a cop tries to ask one of them about some stuff might be going on, he's like, look, man, like, you can do whatever you want, but don't fuck with my bar.
Yeah. What if I want to come and hurt your dog, Tom Hardy?
It would be extraordinarily painful for you.
I knew
it was only a matter of time. That's why I brought up Bane.
That's like that movie he was in. This Means War.
That took over 10 minutes. Good job.
We saw, I just went a little aside about This Means War. First of all, I actually do like that movie. And secondly, we saw the Village People movie over the weekend.
Why are you making me relive this?
Because the Village People movie is the second gayest film I have ever seen, right behind This Means War. Right behind it, yeah.
The Village People movie is gayer than actually having gay sex.
This Means War is such a better movie if you just think about it in terms of they're not fighting over the girl, they just want to date each other.
Yeah, that one comes out on top, you could say.
But back to The Drop. One thing I do want to point out is that James Gandolfini is his usual great in this film. He's a very flawed character, and he's not precisely the guy that they set up at the beginning of the movie, but I did think he looked pretty bad.
Wouldn't it have been horrible if he really sucked in this, and we were like,
Yeah. And James Gandolfini was also in this movie.
Yes, that's what we would have said. But no, there's really not a bad performance to be found in the film. If I had a complaint, it would just be that the story itself was a little bit paltry. Like, there wasn't a lot of meat to the actual story.
Yeah, for a Dennis Lehane piece, it seems awful lacking in plot overall. Yeah. It's more of a character piece than anything else. And I feel like it could have lost 15 minutes or so to tighten things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I also feel like the director of Bullhead, I mean, he's like, he does a good job with it. He creates the appropriate amount of menace in the atmosphere, but I also felt it was a little on the workmanlike side too.
Mm-hmm. It's cold in here. There must be some menace in the atmosphere.
I don't know what you're doing.
I feel like if this didn't centrally involve around a robbery at the beginning in a place that shouldn't be getting robbed because of the people who own it. It's really similar to another movie also starring James Gandolfini in Killing Me Softly. Movie, I think, is much better overall, and I think has stronger performances. It also has a bigger cast.
I go the other way around. I like this much better.
I like this better than Killing Them Softly. But I will say, the problem is that the movie does everything it possibly can to divert your attention away from it being a character piece for very good reason.
Very true.
And then because of that, you're waiting for a bigger resolution to the crime story that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
so on a second viewing, I'm sure this will be much better.
Even the title is kind of a red herring
trying
to lead you down a different path than what the movie's actually about.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first half of the movie, as the tension starts to build, you're scared for Tom Hardy, you're scared for Noomi Rapace. When you get to the second half of the movie, you start to realize what you should be scared for is what's going to happen if people start fucking with Tom Hardy too much.
Mm-hmm.
And without ever really knowing what that is. Is it anything? Is it nothing?
Is it a tickle fight?
You know what? I'm really glad they didn't go there because we already saw that in the Village People movie.
That's true. That is very true. I think overall that's the biggest problem is that on the one hand, it is going to be better on a rewatch because you'll know what the actual focus of the movie is. But then since you know that, the turn isn't as effective. So I feel like this movie kind of shoots itself in the foot, and I think that's why it works. It would work better as a short story than it would as a movie.
I feel like that fault, though, I think is kind of erased when the one detective kind of sums it up perfectly, where he walks up to Tom Hardy and he says, "No one sees you coming, do they?"
Yeah.
Except everyone who's listening to this, because now they know entirely
away. Oh shit! Yeah, I'll put a spoiler warning.
You know, I think Tom Hardy's performance is strong enough in its weird sort of subtlety of what he has to do to sell this part that I found the whole thing kind of mesmerizing because of it. I mean, Hardy's one of my favorite actors working right now.
Agreed.
And I think this is actually one of his better performances because he's not trying to be all out there. He's not trying to be crazy guy. It's very restrained in exactly the way it needs to be make it work.
He's proven with everything he's done throughout his career, from like Dark Knight Rises to This Means War to Locke to this. Like, dude can do pretty much anything.
Funny thing is, like, there's a lot of his movies I don't even like, but I like him in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This one, I fortunately like the movie as well.
I do too.
I think it's maybe the weakest of the Lahaina adaptations yet far, but it's still a really good little noir-y, not even thriller, but noir drama.
Well, yeah, when you say it like that, the worst Lahaina adaptation is like saying the worst Marvel movie since 2008. It's still really good. Yeah, it's just the worst of a lot of great things.
Yeah, what little I have to say that's bad about it is more like, well, if I had made it, I probably would have tightened that screw here, tighten that up there. It's not really there's anything wrong with it, because there's not.
No, not really.
I think you'll enjoy it as you're watching it, but I think in a year you'll be struggling to remember which movie that was.
I think I agree with that. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Like you said, it's kind of like it has more of a feel of a short story than a novel.
Yeah. So let's move on to final thoughts. And JC, just for a change of pace, I'm going to start with you.
Change of Numira pace?
Yeah.
I did Will Goss's part. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
How the fuck am I even doing it?
I was looking forward to this one for a while, just because I really love Tom Hardy and I really love James Gandolfini, and was really sad when he died. So, you know, this turning out as good as it was, and I said I like Killing Me Softly a little bit better. I still like this a lot. All the performances are strong. I liked all the different directions the story was going. If you don't like the dog, like, seriously, what's wrong with you?
Agreed. and this is coming from a cat person. I want you guys to understand that.
He's half cat. You
JC, not me. This. I'm not a cat
person. Yeah, I have two cats. Want to fight about it?
Anyway. I got your back, JC. Yeah, let's do this.
He's all up in that pussy.
Cat fight.
Podcasters, come out and play.
Wow. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
You're still listening. This is what JC thought of the movie.
Yeah, really enjoyed it overall. I don't have anything really bad to say. I think it as you know, this is kind of, I guess, the start of award season, and this ultimately is going to end up holding any kind of water come, you know, later throughout the year. But I think for me, it's something I look forward to seeing again, and probably, you know, proudly have up on my Blu-ray shelf when it comes out. I would probably give it 7 out of 10 fluffy dog ears.
Goss. Who's your good Goss? Who's your good Goss?
Oh. Yeah, I'm pretty much with JC. It's a solid movie. You maybe hope it could be a little more remarkable, but there isn't a bad performance in it. If anything, they have like too many talented actors. You have character actors like John Ortiz and Ann Dowd who are like filling out the margins, and it's like they get two scenes each. But yeah, no, it's a nice little faux 70s crime drama if you already are in the mood for something like that. And I would give it 7.5 adorable puppies. I think we all have to stick with the dog thing.
How about you, Chris?
You know, I think that this is... I'm with you guys largely. I think I maybe liked it just an inch more than you guys did. But it is admittedly kind of a footnote in the modern noir films. I mean, I think it's a lot better than some of the other attempts that have been made lately, which is maybe why it stands up that much more for me. Not of the indie films, because good knows, but
you
God knows,
say
Blue
since-
Ruin.
You could say Sin City too.
I was gonna say Contraband.
That wasn't even noir. That was like a parody of noir.
It also feels all like
it's like Draco
in terms
noir.
Of award season. It's like we're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
But this is enough of a relief after the like Labor Day late summer doldrums, where you're like, it's a movie for grown-ups and it's good.
And I only said that because people have been kind of bringing up those buzzwords, and I'm like,
right.
It's September, calm down.
I don't think
exactly.
I like this as
this
much
is when
as,
The Town came out.
I don't think I like this as much as Cold in July or Blue Ruin mm-hmm. recently, but I did like it better than Killing Me Softly or. What was the... there's another big high-profile one like a year or two ago.
I'm still going with Contraband.
Huh?
Yentl?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yentl.
No, it's Can't Stop the Music. That's what it is.
We clearly can't stop the music.
No. But like, I think the performance is strong enough in this. It takes you by surprise because of how subtle it actually is when it keeps doing things that in a different movie, maybe even a lesser movie, at least these days, would have meant moving directly into things happening really fast and a lot of, like, you know, Scorsese theatrics, if you will. This is taking a very different tact with it, and I found it really interesting. I'm going to actually give this 8 out of 10, maybe not a cat, because that would be the ultimate adorableness, but definitely very cute dog things.
You're on a short leash, cuz.
On the one hand, I kind of wish we hadn't said so much about this movie, but on the other hand, I feel like...
You're like, what?
I don't know. I had a point, and then I lost it thinking about adorable puppies, which is my want. But yeah, no, I feel like we have said a lot about it, but on the other hand, I feel like you kind of need to know what to expect going into this, because it is going to seem really pedestrian, I think, otherwise. So on the one hand, yeah, I wish we hadn't said as much, but on the other hand, I feel like you might find it a little bit pedestrian for the first little bit of it, and then you just kind of have to know that the crime story isn't really the primary focus here. It's all about Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy's character, and I think that is very well set up, and I think his performance is so great that that payoff works more than anything we could have gotten from the actual drop storyline. I also think that I'm going to stick by Tom Hardy as the greatest hero of all time. And I'm going to give this movie 8 out of 10 Bane-shaped chew toys.
You know, the thing is as well that, you know, it kind of reflects the movie as a whole, but even though it builds up to a very startling, violent ending, mm-hmm. it doesn't do it in the way a lot of other movies would have done. It still kind of surprises you with a certain degree of like, oh, well, I didn't see that coming. That's kind of nice. You know, that's like the real world where not everything explodes into a giant orgy of violence and everyone dies.
If nothing else, you can take away from this, dear listener, that this is the review of The Drop that more than any other mentions Can't Stop the Music.
Yes, and we also dropped the most spoilers.
Oh, shit.
Why?
Skrillex!
MCA.